Hi, my name is Scott Sifton. I'm the state senator for the 1st District. I represent a portion of Kirkwood, but my colleague across the aisle, Senator Eric Schmidt, represents the majority of both the city of Kirkwood and the Kirkwood School District. First of all, I want to say to the gentleman who just came forward, absolutely agree, could not agree more. And as a legislator myself, believe me, nobody is more frustrated with how hard it is to get things done in Jefferson City than those of us who are trying to get things done in Jefferson City. I strongly agree with that. Want to talk for just a minute about how we got here, because I think it's important for you to know. And for those who are scratching their heads and wondering why is it that the legislature hasn't addressed this already, I just want to try to explain the chain of events, not because I think it's good that we are where we are, but because I want you to understand how this can happen. This case has been around for a while. It started as the Turner case, at some point, I believe it was Webster Groves that basically challenged the law on Hancock Amendment grounds. Here in Kirkwood, your state representative, Rick Stream, has actually been the point person in the state house on what is commonly been referred to as Turner legislation, the legislation that would represent the House and Senate's response to this particular policy question. So the person on the front lines on this has been Kirkwood's representative years before Normandy and Riverview lost their accreditation. In 2011, I was serving in the House at the time, and with about a week to go in session, we were actually very close to getting a bill across the finish line to address Turner and to try to, among other things, first and foremost, give school districts the ability to, at the very least, you know, have some acknowledgement of capacity issues in the statute, because one of the problems with the law as it's on the books right now is it arguably doesn't give any regard to whether you've got, you know, room in the class or not. And that's one thing if you're talking about, you know, the circumstances we're confronted with now. As a former Afton school board member, I had to explain to folks, look, we have 2,500 students in our district. There are 55,000 school-aged children in the city of St. Louis who, in theory, could all say Afton's our first choice, we're all coming, and the law arguably doesn't prevent that from happening. I don't think that's very workable. That's the problem with the law. We were close to having that fixed in 2011. And just as we were about to get the bill through the House, a judge in St. Louis County said, you know what, Webster Groves, you're right. This law is unconstitutional. You can't do that. This is an unfunded mandate under the Hancock Amendment, and I'm not going to let that law be enforced. And for reasons that I didn't agree with at the time, I wasn't the one controlling the traffic in the legislature, but that basically, with a week to go in the legislative session, was enough to kill the momentum for getting that bill done. And I will tell you that nobody was more frustrated with that than your own state representative, Rick Stream. I don't want to speak for him on that, but he really has been a champion on this issue, and I want everybody in this room to know that. That was 2011. Then, I'm sorry, that was 2012. Then we came to Jefferson City this year. The law was unconstitutional. The last court pronouncement on the issue was that none of this was going to happen, in essence. Because the law violated the Hancock Amendment, nothing was going to proceed. In hindsight, I don't think there's any question. I think if you talk to 197 different legislators, I think 197 of us would say we should have gotten something done this year. What happened was the Missouri Supreme Court issued its ruling after we adjourned for the session, effectively denying the legislature further opportunity to respond on the issue before the 2013-2014 school year. It's an unfortunate turn of events. I strongly agree. Here's what is happening now. And I don't want to steal Senator Schmidt's thunder on this too much, but legislators have been talking across the aisle, across the region, across the state. There are several different proposals that are under consideration. In fact, I'll let him speak for what some of the action Senator Schmidt has taken, but he has shown a leadership role on this as well. I will tell you there are a few policy issues I'm looking at, and just so you know, my district also includes the Melville School District. So I have the two districts that Riverview Gardens has designated I represent. One of my concerns is I'm not sure that the unaccredited district's board should be the entity that decides where transportation funding goes. when Melville was initially designated, I think the press reported, you know, Melville is 22 miles away from Riverview Gardens, and it has a low per pupil cost, which is to say the per pupil expenditure that Riverview Gardens would have to send to Melville as part of this would be a relatively low number. And, you know, some had suggested that maybe what Riverview Gardens was trying to do, or their board anyway, was discourage students from transferring and lower the cost for the ones that did to the district. And whether that's in the best interest of the children of that district is between that school board and their community. But I think that a neutral group such as the State Education Board might be a better arbiter of that question, so we can try to do this in a regional manner so you don't have basically seven people in one corner of our district deciding this for people throughout the region. Another thing that we have to do, we have to get representative streams language into law on capacity. We have to do that because we just cannot have an unlimited burden on transferring districts, or to the point of the gentleman who just spoke, we can't have an unlimited number of students transferring out of these failing districts. And I know it's terrible. I think every student should have the right to choose to transfer if they so do. The reality is about 75% of the students haven't, and we do need to make sure that there are the resources necessary to take care of those students. And that really is one of the biggest unsolved questions in all of this. And to the gentleman's point, I'm not sure where that goes. I share your concern that these two districts are going to be bankrupt. We've already seen, I think, Wellston consolidated into Normandy previously. There could be additional consolidation, and there are arguments to be made about whether that should happen or not. But, you know, this law should not, by legislative inaction, be determining that. I've talked enough. I'm going to yield to my colleague, but I just want to let you know some of the backstory and some of what we are looking at doing when we all get together in January. Thank you.